Visit Plain Ridge Park Casino this spring for all the playoff hoops and hockey action and the return of baseball. They've got the biggest screens, the best food and drink, plus they're giving away Penn Cash bonuses and prizes to Penn Play Rewards members. Not a member? Join today by downloading and registering for the Penn Play app from the App Store. Unlock all the fun, including a chance to win up to $2,000 in Penn Cash. All this and more. Make Plain Ridge Park Casino your spring sports viewing headquarters. Must be 21 plus. Play it smart from the start. Live chat at GameSenseMA.com. Hope is here. 800-327-5050 or GamblingHelplineMA.org.
B-Pod Studios.
No one says it like they do.
What do you mean?
Well, what do you mean?
Felger and Mads.
I'm just making it up. Totally making it up.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
When he stood at the bargaining table this time and knew that he had an expiring contract, he wanted to be there. What he wanted to get was some long-term security that would allow him to play till 43, 44, maybe 45. So when he stepped to the table and the Patriots weren't giving him the surety that he would get that, what he quickly pivoted to was wanting to have his own autonomy. The Patriots first offered him a more modest pay raise and incentives. All that together would have brought him to about $25 million, but the incentives were so difficult to reach that it wasn't going to work. Brady did say, you know what? We'll do that, but you can't franchise me. In turn, the Patriots actually backed off of that because they were very resistant to the initial thought of not being able to franchise him. They asked him why he wanted to do that, and he said, look, I want to have the mobility. I want to have the certainty for the first time in my career and the ability to control my future.
Say, the more we find out about this thing, the more details that come out, the more interesting it gets. If you want my two cents, that's what I feel. That's Tom Curran on his podcast. Quick slants, talking about the negotiation between Brady and the Patriots. And again, now we're getting into some of the details of it. And this is the part that I find interesting. Mike Felger's out today. Jim Murray's alongside. Marshall Hook here for Headline 617-779-0985. We'll open up the phone lines. Jimmy, let's open them up right away. What the hell? Because this Brady story to me, like the more and more you hear, I become more and more fascinated. Murray, I don't know if you're the same way or Marshall, you are. Again, I've been around a million contract negotiations in my life. And I say been around, covered. I shouldn't say I've been sitting in the room. And so, I think we all wonder, like you sit there and say, how did this go down? How did it sort of evolve? What happened? What exactly happened when they sat down? Was Brady there? Was Brady not there? Was it the agent who gave the message? How did the Patriots react? All of that. And I listened to Tom Curran there, and I believe it, by the way. Now, look, we may just be getting one side of the story. Maybe we're getting one and a half. So, you know, like this side of it feels to me like the Brady side of it. I'd love to know what the team side of it is. Maybe we'll learn that over time. I don't know if we're going to learn it in the short term. Maybe we'll never learn it. But according to Curran, Brady wanted to sit down in the meetings, right? Did I hear that right at the beginning? I mean, that's not just me hearing that, right? Jimmy, let's play the beginning again, if you would. I think Tom Curran says here, Brady wanted to be a part of the process and actually wanted to sit in this time. Go ahead.
When he stood at the bargaining table this time, and knew that he had an expiring contract, he wanted to be there. What he wanted to get was some long-term security.
Stop. He wanted to be there. I take that as wanted to be in the room. When he sat at the bargaining table this time, he wanted to be there. Brady wanted to be in the room. I don't take he wanted to be there as he wanted to be in Foxborough, or he wants to stay with the Patriots. Am I misreading that, Murray?
No, I don't think so. No, that's...
Is that the way you heard it, too?
That's exactly what he said, yeah.
No, I'm just making sure that I'm not making something out of nothing. Again, it sounds like, which suggests to me that Brady isn't usually there, right? So again, right. Brady's not usually in on the meetings, but this time he was.
So it's his agent, Don Yee, doing it, making phone calls and saying, hey, you're good with this. You know, we'll send you the paperwork, sign on the dotted line. So yes, Brady wanted to be there so he could either pound the table or yell or whatever it happened to be.
So then Brady then says, okay, fine. If all you're going to give me is incentives like last year, then I want to make sure that you can't franchise me at the end of it. And the Crafts are taken aback. The Crafts hear that and go, what? Why would you want that? And then Brady ends up with guaranteed money and no franchise tag. Right? No franchise tag, no transition tag. Like, as you hear this, does this account of it, if this is how it went down, change your opinion of anything at all? Like, how do you react to this part? Because I heard this current thing and went, wow, Brady sat in there and says, no, you're not going to franchise me anymore. Like, do you believe that?
Yeah, no, I think that he was going to hold out. You know, I took this as, you know, reading Curran's column from a couple of days ago as this whole thing transpired over the weekend where he got this extension, which really was just the $8 million pay bump, and the two years are just nothing more than a placeholder to make it seem better than it actually was. He alluded to, you know, Brady will now be in Detroit and Tennessee and in the fold. And I think he was insulted, and rightfully so, by another incentive-laden contract that was put in front of him just like last year. And he said, you know what? No, not this time. Not after what I've done for this team. And I know you're going to maybe consider my age and everything going forward, but not for the work I put in, not for everything I've done. I'm sick of playing ball here. It's time for me to actually get mine.
So, you know what? There are parts of this latest Curran report, right, that blow me away, Murray. Really, first of all, after last year, they went back basically with the same offer.
That's what it sounds like.
With the same offer. No, Tom, we'll do the same thing we did a year ago. You'll have incentives. There'll be no change. That'll be it. Same thing as a year ago, even though, again, more quarterback deals, more money, higher salary cap, et cetera, everything. All of this, the landscape changes, and they go back to Brady and says, no, it's the same deal. It's the same deal, and you go into the final year of your contract. I mean, if you're Brady, and again, I understand this from a lot of sides, and we'll get to that later in the show, too. But if you're Brady, how are you not pissed at that? How are you not pissed? Like, how are you not sitting there saying, you got to be kidding me? You're going to give me the same thing and more, and just as important, less weapons? I didn't meet the incentives last year.
Yeah,
I had Gronk, and granted, I was without Edelman for a little while, but I had Gronk. I had Gronk.
And a left tackle I can trust.
And for that matter, I actually even got Josh Gordon for part of the year. Not that he was any great shakes, but he wasn't horrible.
No, you had him for 11 weeks, and he was, you know, he's certainly more talented, I think, than some of the guys that you have here that are complete unknowns.
So now I have no Josh Gordon. I didn't get the incentives then. I have no Gronk, no Josh Gordon. Edelman's hurt right now, and it's the same deal? Which means you're basically saying no, nothing? That's it? You know what? If that's the case, fine. If that's what you guys want to do, fine. Again, Curran says this. Brady finally says, okay, fine, but I'll take that. But you have to give me no franchise tag. And the Crafts are surprised by that. Now, again, this is just, I think, once. Do you agree that it's probably one side of the negotiation?
That what Curran is reporting?
Yes.
Yeah, only because, I mean, I think it's pretty well known at this point that Tom has a really good relationship with the Brady camp. So, yeah, I think it might be a little bit slanted there. No pun intended.
You know what? You know what changes my opinion now on this? And I say opinion, or what I find. And again, the deeper we get into it, maybe I'm just late in reacting because it happens a lot with me. I'm just on a little bit of a time lag. What can I tell you? That's the way I am. The imagery of Brady sitting there at a table, like let's call it four or five people in the room. Brady, his agent, Robert, Jonathan, maybe Bill's there, maybe he's not, whatever. Right? They're sitting in a room. And Tom is sitting there going, listen, if that's what you guys want to do, you can do whatever you want. I mean, you can do whatever you want. I don't have any power here. I have no leverage. I have no control. The way the CBA is written, the franchise tag prevents me from getting anything. So you know what? If you guys want to do that again, I didn't meet the incentives last year. You guys want to do that again, fine. Do it that way. You do it the way you want. It's your team. But you can't franchise me. And they're surprised. So again, the way it's presented, they're surprised. So I don't know. I don't know what surprises me most in this whole account that Curran gives. Whether the image of Brady actually sitting there and digging in on it, or the fact that the Crafts ultimately agreed to a deal in which they can't franchise or use a transition tag. In other words, which they give up all leverage. And so I hear both of those things and I find them hard to believe. And that makes me feel we've gotten to a point, and maybe this too is obvious, where it's just, you know what? This is it. I'm done at the end of the year. Murray, you still believe?
He's not retiring.
Okay.
100% he's not retiring. I don't believe that for a second. There's no way. And this is why he's so dug in. He feels like the team no longer believes. It's not just Belichick. He just now feels that this thing has been negotiated and they give him this insulting incentive-laden deal again. You don't believe in my dream to play into 45 or at least a few more years. I'm going to keep playing. And it's gonna, it would have looked real ugly if they had to get it and put a franchise tag on Tom Brady. So he kind of won this one. And, you know, for, and I think on one end too, even though I'm pro Brady and all of this, but Belichick and the team are right to essentially look at him and say, like, well, you got to prove it because you're in, we're all in uncharted waters here. Like, to play at that level in your 40s, has only one quarterback played at 43, Doug Flutie, I think. So, you know, they're right to maybe look at this, but it's a big risk. Because I still think he could walk. I really believe that. He's not going to quit after this season.
I mean, it doesn't feel like it. It doesn't feel like Brady's going to walk away and just retire. It doesn't feel that way. It feels like Brady wants the ability, again, to decide his own future.
And so if some quarterback-starved team, or maybe, you know, just a team that needs that position, you know, like some a star there to put asses in seats because it's been an irrelevant franchise. Maybe, again, I've mentioned Tennessee. Maybe it's, I don't know, pick any other team. If they come in over the top at the end of the season, and even if he has like a pedestrian year, and it's 25 touchdowns, like 10 picks, whatever, just to put asses in seats and for buzz, they offer $35 million. You think the Patriots are going to match that? I don't. I don't either.
I mean, they've never been willing to pay him that up to now. Not that he had the option of going out on the open market, but why all of a sudden would they do it when he's going to be 43?
They won't.
So, I again, and this is something that Brady had to assess, right? Well, wait a minute. I made $50 million last year. That was my salary, 14, whatever the hell it was. I had no weapons, really. I had no incentives. We won the Super Bowl. Now we come back and I have even less than I did a year ago. Like Josh Gordon, as crazy as that is, now qualifies as a loss for Brady. Josh freaking Gordon. And Brady's sitting there going, you're just setting me up to fail. You're setting me up to fail. So if you're going to set me up to fail, fine, set me up to fail. But at the end, I get to pick. I've never had the chance to pick. I get the chance to pick now. And again, the part of it that floors me is that, and when I weigh it all out, really, this is what I'm most surprised about, that the Crafts would agree to that. That the Crafts would agree to a contract that allows Brady to leave and they have no control over it whatsoever. They really are daring him and playing chicken. That he won't leave.
They agreed because he was going to hold out. That's the part that I think is the biggest part of this whole story here. They went from, oh, here's essentially this same deal, and you won't be able to hit any of these incentives because you have less weapons than last year and a questionable left tackle. Here, we're going to put this in front of you. He says no. And they say, well, oh, my God, no, you've always capitulated to us. How dare you? You know what? I want a real pay raise. I want it to be equal to what Drew Brees is. And you're not going to put the franchise tag on me. And the Crafts say, well, what are you going to do? I'm going to hold out. You know, because for the first time, I want mine. And I'm going to hold out. Because what are you going to do without me? Rubble. Okay. All right. So they give him the pay raise and they acquiesce. He won this for now.
I mean, again, we'll see how this thing all shakes out at the end. Because there's always the chance that Brady will stand down, accept what they give him, and he'll be back next year. And, you know, we'll all say, well, here we go again. But based on what he said the other day, based on this report by Curran, ooh, Brady sounds like he's dug in. Brady sounds like he's dug in. Fine, you want to treat me the way you've treated me, no problem. But you don't have control anymore. You don't have control. Tom Brady sat in a room at a table across from ownership and maybe Belichick and said, no more. No more. I get to decide now. Your calls when we come back.
You're listening to Felger and Mass on 98.5. The Sports.
Visit Plain Ridge Park Casino this spring for all the playoff hoops and hockey action and the return of baseball. They've got the biggest screens, the best food and drink, plus they're giving away Penn Cash bonuses and prizes to Penn Play Rewards members. Not a member? Join today by downloading and registering for the Penn Play app from the App Store. Unlock all the fun, including a chance to win up to $2,000 in Penn Cash. All this and more. Make Plain Ridge Park Casino your spring sports viewing headquarters. Must be 21 plus. Play it smart from the start. Live chat at GameSenseMA.com. Hope is here. 800-327-5050 or Gambling Help LineMA.org.
The Dave McGilvery Finish Strong Foundation's goals are to inspire and empower youth across New England and beyond to increase physical activity, expand literacy, and build community and self-esteem through running, reading, and performing acts of kindness. Join us in our mission to empower youth through fitness and education. With your support, we can provide the opportunities for youth to cross their own finish line one step at a time. Together, we can build a stronger, healthier future. Go to DaveMcGilveryFoundation.org for more information.
Felger and Mass, Jimmy Stewart, our producer, you're going to have to help me out here. We started this segment by playing a cut from Jonathan Kraft at the Super Bowl a couple of years ago. I'm guessing that got interrupted.
I think that full cut made it, and then we went to the emergency alert system.
Okay, so I'll tell you what, then, for the benefit...
It was only a test.
All right. There's no actual emergency. There might be down in Foxborough, Jimmy. There might be one over at Fenway Park, too, but we'll get to that later. In the interim, let's play the cut again. Just so I'll tell you what... So Murray and even Marshall can hear it. This is Jonathan Kraft at the Super Bowl a couple of years ago.
Can you envision a scenario where you're the one that has to tell Tom Brady it's time to retire as a Patriot?
I think Tom Brady's earned the right to have that be a decision he makes when he wants to make it.
Okay, Tom Brady has earned the right for that to be a decision that he makes when he wants to make it. What I'm wondering now is that blowing up on the Krafts? Is Brady throwing that comment right back in their face? Like, again, if it were me, if I were Brady and I sat in on this meeting with ownership and management, or, you know, one of the two, if not both, and I said, and they said, well, listen, we're going to give you the same deal, incentive-based. You know, if you hit the numbers, you can make this. I would look at it and go, wait a minute. This is bull crap. No. And fine, you want me to take that, fine, but I want out of here at the end of the year. I want the right to choose at the end of the year. And they go, what? Why would you want that, Tom? I would say, well, you yourself said that I've earned the right to decide when I walk. So why not give it to me? You said that. You said that I've earned that right. And more importantly, I believe I've earned that right. I have put in the effort, the production, the performance. You know, I've given you everything you've ever asked. I'm asking for one thing back. I mean, if you're the Krafts, how do you say no to that after Jonathan Kraft said what he said at the Super Bowl 2 years ago?
No, you can't, especially when there's the threat of a holdout also hanging over that as well. They're only surprised because, again, he's worked with them time and time and time again when it comes to contract negotiations. Just not this time. So they're surprised. I get it, but I don't know how you don't side with Brady on this. So now that you hear this kind of information, that they put another incentive-laden deal in front of him, it's a slap in the face.
Okay, but again, when you say you don't side with Brady on this, would you give him, you know... 30...
No, I do side with Brady on this.
Okay, no, but my point is, if you're the team, would you give him $30 or $40 million and just eat the money?
No, they should have given him guaranteed money for, you know, for what he was looking for 2 more years.
So that's what I mean, Mark.
Yeah, they should have, yeah.
I mean, I think that there probably comes a level where Tom Brady, we know throughout his entire career, has taken less, right? He's maybe not the very beginning, but, you know, for the entire meaningful part of his career, he's taken less. And maybe he just got to a point where he was tired of the team taking for granted that he would. Like, at some point, you know, at least come to me and you know, blow some sunshine up my butt before you ask me to take this crappy contract. Don't just assume that I'm going to do it again. So it may very well be that he has simply had enough. I mean, he's still not getting paid his full market value, or at least what I would think is his full market value. And it just may be that he's had enough of being taken for granted by this team in that way.
I mean, Marshall, when you get right down to it, what else has changed? Nothing has changed. The Krafts have done this for decades, and Bill has done it for decades. Bill's done it with other players. The Krafts have asked Brady to take less. Brady has willfully done so. The only thing that has changed this year in this negotiation is that Brady's not playing ball. That's the only thing that's changed. Am I missing anything?
No, I don't think so.
And prior to last year, he didn't have all those incentives in any of those deals, so that may have also kind of stuck with him a little bit. Like, fine, for whatever reason you want me to do it this way this year, fine, we'll do that. And then he goes out and wins the Super Bowl, and his reward is, hey, let's do that again. That sounds great. We'll once again take advantage of you and take you for granted and make you earn these incentives that you're really never going to earn. And he's, you know what? Enough. Just give me my money.
Let's go to the calls. Pete's in Plainville. Pete, what do you got?
Hey, guys. Great show. 2 points real quick. The first, I think Brady looks at it and says, you know, I've done everything for this franchise, and now you guys are going to, you know, try to cheat me out. And look what he's surrounded with. So he looks at it and goes, I don't have a ton of talent, and now you're going to ask me to take less money? I think that's probably going right up his key stick, if you know what I mean. And the second thing, and I didn't get a chance to call in yesterday, but I listened to the show. I think the dark horse, if he does leave, is L.A. If you look at both quarterback situations out there with the Chargers and the Rams, you know, Goff, if he has another bad year, they can just let him go. And, if you know, I know they'll have some roster turnover, but that's a talented place. And then I think Rivers is on his last year, too. So those both places have a ton of talent. Man.
Okay,
Anthony
so
great shape.
Yeah, so Pete, I want to spend less time on speculating where Brady is going. Okay, because again, the whole landscape is going to change by the end of the year. So, you know, L.A., New York, Tennessee, as Murray said yesterday, there's no real way to predict where the hell this thing is going. For now, the story is that for the first time in a long time, Brady is broken from playing ball. Brady's completely stepped out of this.
Yeah, he's finally sticking up for himself when it comes to a contract negotiation. He hasn't done this before.
So, you know, you talked about this a little bit with Ted Johnson on Friday, right? And again, I wasn't here. Felger obviously wasn't here. The idea of Brady making this stand is, you know, Felger has said it a million times. Brady will kick up the dirt. Brady will dig in his heels. Brady will get pissed off. And then at the end of the day, Kraft will put something in front of him and Brady will sign it. And that'll be the end of it. This time it doesn't feel like that happened. But Mike isn't the only one who has taken that stance. In fact, most everybody seems to think that that's ultimately the way it has gone and that it would go. So here's Murray with Ted Johnson on Friday. And Murray, I think you asked the question. We actually trimmed it out, so forgive me. But I think you said, could you ever see Brady like digging in and really making an issue of this? Here was Ted's answer.
Never. Never. It's kind of fun to think about. Like, yeah. Just, you know, if Tom actually, you know, demanded that he gets paid what is commensurate with guys that, you know, at his level, he's never been paid that. There's no way Tom would ever do that. Never draw a line in the sand, never demand, or else I'm out of here. Tom Brady needs Bill Belichick more than Bill Belichick needs Tom Brady.
Mm, bold.
Yep. And that's, and so Tom, he knows that. He knows that. There's no way Tom is going anywhere. He will, at the end of the day, take whatever salary they give him within reason, because he knows to build on his legacy and to be called the GOAT, the greatest of all time, he needs Bill Belichick and the way he coaches and his style for him to be able to have the success he has. It's more important for Tom to be attached to Bill than it is for Bill to be attached to Tom.
Considering,
do you agree with that, Murray?
No, not really. No, because I think ultimately, I think Super Bowl 52 was the tipping point. If I'm Tom Brady, because that's the game against the Eagles.
Malcolm Butler.
Yeah. Again, you know, to me, I look at that game, and if Brady is not the quarterback of the Patriots that night, they lose by like 35, 40 points. And Belichick makes that horrendous decision for sitting Malcolm Butler, seemingly spitefully, for that game. And it cost Brady another Super Bowl. So if I'm Tom, I look at that and say, no. I'm the more important one now. Might have been different in the past, and Tom probably felt that way. Maybe even still feels that way, maybe a smidge. But after that, I say, no, I'm the more important piece here with the chicken and egg debate of who's, you know, more important, me or Bill. It's me. And after this season, I may want to try to do this somewhere else.
So I'll tell you what, the more I think about it over the years, we've had this discussion a million times. Who's more important, right? And we all know that the ultimate answer is both. And if you had to pick, I've always been on the Brady side more than the Belichick side. But when I hear Ted say it the way he says it, there's something I disagree with. There's a part of that I disagree with, and I'll explain after Marshall gets us caught up on headlines.
Visit Plain Ridge Park Casino this spring for all the playoff hoops and hockey action and the return of baseball. They've got the biggest screens, the best food and drink, plus they're giving away Penn Cash bonuses and prizes to Penn Play Rewards members. Not a member? Join today by downloading and registering for the Penn Play app from the App Store. Unlock all the fun, including a chance to win up to $2,000 in Penn Cash. All this and more. Make Plain Ridge Park Casino your spring sports viewing headquarters. Must be 21 plus. Play it smart from the start. Live chat at GameSenseMA.com. Hope is here. 800-327-5050 or GamblingHelplineMA.org.
The Doug Flutie Jr. Foundation for Autism is proud to be the presenting sponsor of the Boston Marathon's Adaptive Program for Runners, creating opportunities for runners with autism and other disabilities to participate in the legendary Boston Marathon.
Hi, my name is Eric Fishman, and I'm running as a member of the Adaptive Program for Runners in this year's Boston Marathon. Thanks to the Flutie Foundation, runners like me can achieve their dreams and finish the greatest race in the world.
Woo! The Flutie Foundation promotes inclusion for all to help everyone achieve their running dreams in Boston and beyond. Visit FlutieFoundation.org to get involved.
I hate jokes. We're not taking jokes.
That joke blew.
It's Felger and Mass, 98.5 The Sports Hub.
I don't think that there is strife going back and forth between Tom Brady and Bill Belichick and Robert Kraft. I think that there's all an acknowledgement of where everyone is right now, though. Patriots aren't wrong for not having faith that a 43-year-old quarterback shouldn't have a $28 million contract that runs over a couple years and has fat cap hits. And Kraft isn't wrong for not overruling Bill Belichick in saying so. And Tom Brady's not wrong for feeling unappreciated because he's in this position. But the final analysis is they're all eyeing each other warily as they go about their business with a smile. And as 2019 unfolds and Tom Brady, surrounded by a lesser cast of offensive weapons, might not perform at the same level, even as he's insisting to himself on his ride home at night over his for sale dinner table and mansion to his wife that I'm going to prove them wrong again. He knows that he's going to swim upstream in trying to do that statistically. And he knows that anything that he fails at can and will be used against him in negotiations by Bill Belichick. So everything's on the table right now. And in some ways, it's sad. In other ways, it's fascinating.
Oh, Curran uses the word fascinating there. Again, that's Tom Curran from his Quick Slants podcast, offering up more details on the Brady-Patriots negotiation concerning Brady's latest contract. Marshall Hook, you said something a little while ago concerning the ending of these types of relationships. I don't know if you remember what you said. I'm sort of putting you on the spot. Okay, what'd you say?
I said that they never end well. It never ends happily. I mean, we've said it over and over again across all sports, no matter how big the star, no matter how important to the team, they just don't end easy and happy. They just don't.
Unless a guy maybe prematurely calls it a career, like a Barry Sanders or someone like that.
Calvin Johnson, right?
I'll tell you this. Joe Murray had on a Detroit beat writer on the air last night to talk about this upcoming game, but they actually talked a little bit about Barry Sanders. And the fans there are a lot of them, still harbor a lot of resentment toward him because they feel, as well as Megatron, like they abandoned their team and
jump
they
ship.
Walked away. So even if you do it that way, and by the way, the reason Sanders left is because he was unhappy with the direction the team was headed. So even those aren't good examples of it ending well.
Murray, do you think this whole thing is devoid of strife? As Curran said there at the beginning, that he doesn't think there's strife.
No, but if you really listen closely there, I don't think that's what he's really saying. Like,
he's just saying outwardly there's no strife.
Yeah, outwardly. But I don't know. While Brady puts on a good face, and he'll continue to do so, it sounds to me like he's, silently seething, or at least going home to his mansion, like Tom mentioned, and, probably bitching to his wife. Like, they don't believe in my dream to play in a 45.
I mean, was it really a good face? Because even his kind of quotes after he signed the extension, it didn't sound like he was, thrilled with this turn of events. He kind of sounded like he said, I think he even used the phrase, it is what it is.
Oh, no,
like,
he did use it.
Yeah.
Sorry, go ahead.
So don't tell me there's no strife there. If there's no strife, he comes out the other end and goes, great, I got an $8 million bonus or an $8 million raise, and he'd be singing the pretend tune about it two more years after that. No. He came right out and said, basically, that's a fake contract. This is a one-year pay raise, and he didn't use the words, but I think we can gather this is not the contract he wanted.
So I told you right before we went to break that I've always been a Brady's more responsible than Bill is. Person. Okay, the Brady versus Bill, who's more important? I've always been more on the Brady side than the Bill. It's close. We all know it's close. Hell. And at the end of the day, really, they took both of them. But I've always been a Brady guy more than a Belichick guy. Which brought me to a thought here as I listened to Ted Johnson with you from Friday, Murray, which I'll get to in a minute. Let's squeeze in a couple of more calls. Paul's in a car. Paul, what do you got?
Hey, guys, I've always believed that the relationship between Brady and the Kraft family is so strong that I really believe that he's got some type of personal services contract elsewhere where they make up for the loss of money he does not get in his football contract.
So, Paul, stop there for one. Stop there, Paul.
Outlandish.
Okay, stop there for one second. Stop there for one second because you're not the first person to bring this up. Okay, and let's just say that that is true. Let's just say that that is true. Which I don't believe anymore, because Felger said this a million times.
It'd be too easy to dig and find something like that, and it would be massive cap violation, and it'd be screwed beyond all belief by the league.
Okay, so, and here's the other thing. If that's true, Paul, why did Brady ask them to take out the franchise tag in the contract?
Well, I firmly believe that they have an agreement that says, hey, the media has a message to deliver to the public. We can't have everything rolled. But at the end of the day, you know we're going to take care of you.
Yeah.
Tom Brady's not going to retire from the Kraft family after his football career is over.
You sure about that? Again, why did he ask them that the clause be taken out of the contract? If they have such a good relationship and he trusts them, why would he ask that it be taken out of the contract? He doesn't want them to have that right. He doesn't want them to have that power. Because at the end of the day, business is business.
And if they got along as well, or they had some sort of like shady deal like he alluded to, then he'd say, you know what, leave it in there. But I know at the end of the day, we'll be able to figure it out.
He would trust them, Murray. Yeah. He would trust them. He doesn't. And when I say trust them, I mean, I think he trusts the Krafts. But at the end of the day, he's got his business interests. They have theirs. And maybe this is what Curran means by no strife. That Brady, they all look at it and say, well, we have differing interests. And Tom says, well, if we have differing interests, then why should I stay? If it's my goal to play till 45, but you guys don't want to acknowledge that, then you got to let me make a decision on my own here at the end. Because I've given you guys plenty over the years. So this idea that this is some sort of wink, wink, nod, nod, if that is true, why did Brady ask that the clause be removed from the contract? And based on Curran's report, Brady asked it, not his agent. He sat there at the meeting and said, well, then you can't franchise me. Chris is in Bridgewater.
Hey, good afternoon, guys. Love the show. I had two quick questions for you. Do you think at least part of this is Brady trying to see if he can do this without Belichick and the system? And do you think any players will leave with Brady? I mean, I don't know who's up for contract, but that's something that nobody's asking, like, who would leave with Tom Brady?
Okay, so, Murray, over the years, we've always said Belichick would love to win one without Brady. Is it true the other way around?
Oh, I would think so at this point, too, yeah. I mean, I think, well, I don't even know it's so much to win. I think it's just to keep playing because it benefits the brand. It benefits the TB12 methods, you know, and like that. I think that might actually be more important at this point. Yeah, another ring to go along with it with another team would be great. But to prove that he can beat time, I guess, you know, as corny as that sounds, but this is what he's trying to do with TB12 and his methods.
So that's
the more important thing.
So that's a good way to put it. He's more interested in beating time than he is beating Bill Belichick.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah.
I mean, and you know what? As you put it that way, I tend to agree with that. I don't think Brady is out there to say, no, I need to win a Super Bowl without Bill.
Yeah, I think Bill wants to do it. It's the last pelt he has yet to collect. I think that that's important to him. It's one of the reasons he drafted Jimmy Garoppolo. I think it's why he kept texting him, even though he was 3,000 miles away, when he actually started making those starts for the 49ers. Like, I think that there was, you know, real interest there, and I get that, because he's been connected to Brady here with all the success over the last 20 years. For Brady, I don't know if it's more about rings somewhere else. It's to benefit the brand.
David's in Lynn. Dave, quickly.
Brady versus Belichick. Brady, look at the Super Bowl with Atlanta. That was the best Super Bowl, best game of all time. That was not Bill Belichick's coaching. That was Tom Brady's championship caliber play. That's it.
Okay, so Dave, look, I mean, you pick one game out, and I'm not disagreeing with you, but again, we could pick games where Belichick's coaching made the difference. The first Super Bowl.
This last Super Bowl.
I mean, real again, another one. Right. Again, another one, which ultimately, Murray, brings me to my thought about Brady taking...
Just real quick, because that kind of annoyed me. Like, because you want to say the fourth quarter of the Super Bowl against the Seahawks, I'm all with you. That's Brady's masterpiece. That Super Bowl, Brady was garbage for the first half, and they're dialing up pressure against Matt Ryan in the second half and, you know, getting all into the coaches' heads and everybody else. So Belichick wasn't a non-factor in that Super Bowl. So, like, stop that.
No, look, again, I mean, we can all pick out one game or the other where one guy mattered more than, you know, the coach mattered more than the quarterback or the other way around. So it's not about the one game. It's about the era. And I told you, historically, I've been more of a Brady guy than a Belichick guy. Which brings me to Ted Johnson's comments that Brady needs Bill more than the other way. Brady needs Bill more than the other way around. Right? And again, I've disagreed with that, but I might agree with it now, and I'll tell you why. We'll talk about that when we come back.
You're listening to Felger and Mass on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Visit Plain Ridge Park Casino this spring for all the playoff hoops and hockey action and the return of baseball. They've got the biggest screens, the best food and drink, plus they're giving away Penn Cash bonuses and prizes to Penn Play Rewards members. Not a member? Join today by downloading and registering for the Penn Play app from the App Store. Unlock all the fun, including a chance to win up to $2,000 in Penn Cash. All this and more. Make Plain Ridge Park Casino your spring sports viewing headquarters. Must be 21 plus. Play it smart from the start. Live chat at GameSenseMA.com. Hope is here. 800-327-5050 or gambling help. Line ma.org.
Face it, winter can wreak havoc on your parking lot. And the last thing your customers need is to dodge potholes, which might make them dodge your business altogether. Make sure they don't have bumps on the way to your door by calling U.S. Pavement. 1-800-PAVEMENT. Let U.S. Pavement smooth the road to your door. U.S. Pavement has paved the way for successful businesses all over New England since 1985. Call now, and a member of their expert team will evaluate your site and give you a price that won't leave a hole in your budget. Call U.S. Pavement at 1-800-PAVEMENT or visit uspavement.com.
Miss something?
I don't know. Google it, Maz.
Listen to the podcast on the 98.5 The Sports Hub app.
That's idiotic.
Now back to Felger and Maz on Boston's home for sports.
Tom Brady gets the chance, though, to most likely dictate his own departure. He can dismount as he wants to, until and unless Bill Belichick decides to do what he's done in the past and what's been done with so many great players previously. And he decides to take this player who wants to jump before he gets pushed and beats him to the punch.
Again, that's from the Tom Curran podcast. Quick slant. This is the only part I disagree with, and this is the part I wonder that comes from sort of the Brady side of it almost exclusively. Tom Brady gets to choose unless or until Bill Belichick does what he's done with everybody else and pushes him out the door before he can jump, right? Haven't we already passed that? Didn't Belichick want to do that already, and he was denied? Like, on that one, the Crafts took Brady's side. So on this one, they're not going to take Brady's side again. Like, I'm not saying that properly. If Belichick wants to trade Brady in the middle of this year because he's going to be a free agent, there's no way the Crafts allow it. If he wanted to trade him now, there's no way they allow it. Like, I think that one's out. I don't think that Brady
not happening.
I don't think Belichick forcing Brady out is in play. Am I missing something there?
No.
So my one sort of thing with Brady, and I'm going back to that Ted Johnson comment he made with you, Murray, that Brady needs Belichick more than the other way around. I think that that is now true. In the prime of his career, I don't think it was. I think it was the other way around. And so my question to Brady would be, why did you wait till now? You should have done this a long time ago. Like, if you were that upset, if this thing has been building over the years, why didn't you do this sooner when you had more leverage? I'm not saying Brady has zero now, but Bill has built the roster now for a running game, for a defense. We talked about it last week. He's even drafted a punter, for crying out loud. Like, the whole thing is less reliant on the quarterback than it has been maybe in a long time, because they really won without great quarterback play last year. I'm not saying Brady sucked, but they won with their defense and with their running game and those things as much as they did Brady coming through in Kansas City in the fourth quarter and overtime. So Brady now has leverage because the franchise tag is out. But he had more leverage before. Like, now I think Belichick might be more important to Brady than Brady. Because Belichick was more important than Brady at the beginning.
Yeah.
You follow me?
Yeah, but so Brady wasn't going to do this in his 30s or any other time that these contract negotiations have come up, and maybe he's just, you know, ultimately, you know, been bent over a barrel by them and took less because he really just wanted to keep winning. Again, now I think part of his priorities, everything's kind of changed here. It's about building the TB12 brand and continuing to push that along. And to do that, well, he has to keep playing. And with the way that Bill's built it, at least, you know, the way it's looked here the last couple of years, and now he's drafting another punter here, and the emphasis looks like it's going to be on running the ball and defense, I'm sure Bill looks at it and says, I could do this with a guy at the quarter of a price. Like, I don't need a 42-year-old quarterback around here. Yeah, it helps, and, you know, third down, you're going to be money. I get it. But for what cost? So we'll do this for one more year and then see what happens.
I mean, again, it was Greg Bedard touched on this on the Boston Sports Journal, that Brady has only himself to blame for this. And I don't go that far because, again, just because Brady is unwilling to, like, put up a stink and dig in doesn't mean that they couldn't have done it for him along the way. They could have given him more. They could have, just because they understood what he meant. But now is the time that you stink, you know, you put up the stink at the end. You should have done it in the middle.
He was never going to do that at that time, though.
But if it was really bothering you along the way, then you waited too long. Like, that's the one thing I would say. You waited too long. You could have really held their feet to the fire in the middle of it. Where were they going to go? You were the best player in the world.
It was different. His mindset was different then. The priorities have changed. That's why I just don't. I don't think that that would have ever been realistic.
So I get that. I mean, I do. I get that. But again, it clearly bothered him back then. He just never was going to dig in on it. He should have. He probably wouldn't be in the same spot now. Our buddy Guy's in Boston. Guy, what do you got?
Hey, Tony Mash, listen, I want to know one thing. Bob Kraft, how much did he pay for the Patriots, and what are they worth now? And that had to do with Tom Brady winning the Super Bowls and going to almost half of the Super Bowls that he's been a quarterback. And as far as Belichick, has he ever taken a pay cut? And I think Ted Johnson is a good ball player, but he's taken one too many to the head. Thank you.
Yeah, well, you know, let's leave Ted out of it. I think, you know, for Ted to believe what he believes, there's nothing wrong with that. And has Belichick ever taken a pay cut? I don't think so. Has Brady? Brady hasn't taken a pay cut. He just hasn't.
Sure?
No, he just hasn't gotten as much as he was supposed to.
Well, I don't know. I'm literally asking, are you sure that he's never had a salary go down one season after the next?
I'm pretty sure. Yeah. I'm pretty sure. Now, again, you can't go by base salary, Marshall. You got to go with every subsequent deal and the money he's gotten out of it. Because the base salary is just funny accounting. I don't think Brady's ever taken, you know, less than he had before. I don't think that has happened. I might be wrong. And Felger knows the history of that better than I do. We can ask him. One of Murray's favorite topics. Claude is in New Hampshire. Go ahead, Claude.
Guys, love the show. Another spin on this. This may be Giselle looking to start her career over again later in the years, maybe a fashion line, and Tom's agreed to it, and he's sensing what's going on, being pushed out the door. And he went to the Crafts this year and said, hey, it's time to pay me. And the Crafts are a little upset they got rid of Garoppolo now, and he didn't last the last 3 years. So maybe there's something behind that. Thanks, guys.
So, Clyde, I don't follow all the logic. I'm not sure what that has to do with Giselle.
No, I don't either.
I mean,
for why they're looking to move closer to New York. Maybe that's what he's getting to. I don't know. Look, if there's any factor that Giselle is part of here, I think it's to what you were talking about yesterday, and that what you can look at is a bit of a tell in that Men's Health article, where you know he's talking to the author about, you know, her upbringing and how she lived in Japan at 16 at an age without cell phones and moved to New York not being able to speak English, and she was able to adapt. And that's one of the things he's ultimately learned from his wife, that, you know, you can be malleable. You don't have to be set here. And I don't know, we were talking about it yesterday. It just maybe feels like maybe Tom now feels like, well, why do I have to end my career here? Who says? I've already accomplished all this. Say they win another one, so, you know, in a perfect world, it's now 7 Super Bowls here. Well, if I still want to keep playing, they don't believe in my dream to play to 45. Who says I got to retire?
Yeah, as a Patriot? The boundaries are only in your head.
Yeah.
That's sort of Giselle's message, right? The boundaries.
So that's where she factors in.
See, that's where I think, too. I think that, you know, being around her has given him a new perspective. He sees things that, oh, geez, I never thought of it that way. And she has his ear. She's his wife. I mean, how many of us know that one?
Yeah.
Like, you know, where you think, oh, geez, I never thought of it that way.
And I think, look, and rightfully so, the legacy is important to him, as it should be. But I don't think it takes a hit if he plays somewhere else. I mean, it would blow people's mind if he didn't end up retiring as a Patriot. But for him to, you know, play his final 2 years, and if he has a lot of, hopefully a successful last couple of years in the NFL with a different team, I don't think it's that big of a deal.
And Murray, you know as well as I do, because you have a significant other, as does Marshall, who's married, as am I, usually she's right.
Right.
Usually she's right. Ed's in Maynard. Ed, what do you got?
Hey, just quick question for you, and then I just want to follow up with my conspiracy theory here. Who's the highest paid quarterback, and how much is he making right now? Is it 30-something million?
Well, it gets complicated, but based on AAV, I think it's Russell Wilson and Ben Roethlisberger right now at 35 per.
Okay. So my conspiracy theory is this. He put his house on the market for $39.5 million, which is, I don't know, $24 million over asking price. This is his passive-aggressive way, and he also waived his, so they can't put the franchise tag on him, which would have been for $35 million a year. This is his way, his passive-aggressive way of saying how much he wants to get paid. He wants $39.5 million because he's been underpaid all this time, and again, just my conspiracy theory, but I think he's using the house as a pawn to kind of say what he wants, and I'll take my answers or your observations off the air. Thanks.
Okay. Murray, do you have any opinion on the price of the house relative to his salary?
No.
Okay. I love the creativity that it took to come up with that idea, though. That's also the people who say that it, like 28.3 is the salary, and that's a that's you know 28-3 Atlanta over New England in the Super Bowl. Like, no, everyone loves to look into these numbers.
The only conspiracy I buy into with the salary is that it's a little bit more than Jimmy Garoppolo's, and I think that that's on purpose. But everything else, I just think is somewhat.
So I was just going to say the price of the house, Murray. The price of the house, and you know the highest paid quarterback in the league. There's no connection there. There's no connection there. Brady is put his house on the market for $39.5 million because that's what a real estate agent told him to do.
Yeah.
Okay. That Brady,
they won't get it, but there's your starting point. You negotiate from there.
Start there. Maybe we come down to 34. Like, who the hell knows? Okay, whatever it is. But what I do believe, the phony years at the end of that contract, those do mean something. So, for example, do you remember the initial reports? Brady has signed a 2-year, how many million dollar extension? 70.
Yeah.
70. If they're voidable years, what do the numbers matter at all? They're fake, right? They're fake years. So why 2 years and 70? And you know why? Because it's an average of 35 per, and his extension will then make that number equivalent to what Russell Wilson and Ben Roethlisberger are. And the 28.3 number that you're talking about pays him more than Jimmy Garoppolo, which is what the Brady side wanted. So those numbers I believe in. Again, if they're fake, voidable years at the end of the deal, you could have put $100 million on there. What's the freaking difference? He's not going to see it anyway. So why did they pick those numbers? They picked the. Why did they say 2 years and 70, and why did it come out to an average of 28.3? Because those were benchmarks that mattered to them, right? Those benchmarks mattered. We've spent a lot of time on the Patriots, justifiably so. There was breaking news last night, if you want to call it that, concerning Dave Dombrowski and the Red Sox. And then Dombrowski went on Nesson last night and did an interview. Marshall will get you caught up with headlines, and then we'll visit the ongoing issue with the Red Sox and where they are headed, because that one looks like there's going to be a big change, too.
Visit Plain Ridge Park Casino this spring for all the playoff hoops and hockey action and the return of baseball. They've got the biggest screens, the best food and drink, plus they're giving away Penn Cash bonuses and prizes to Penn Play Rewards members. Not a member? Join today by downloading and registering for the Penn Play app from the App Store. Unlock all the fun, including a chance to win up to $2,000 in Penn Cash. All this and more. Make Plain Ridge Park Casino your spring sports viewing headquarters. Must be 21 plus. Play it smart from the start. Live chat at GameSenseMA.com. Hope is here. 800-327-5050 or gambling. HelplineMA.org.
Looking for hope? House of Possibilities offers children and adults with disabilities a path to greater independence. From social to recreational programs to overnight respite and career and community access opportunities, House of Possibilities is changing the way people see disabilities and their program participants see themselves. Visit houseofpossibilities.org to learn more or to support their work. That's houseofpossibilities.org. House of Possibilities. See what belonging can do.
Face it, winter can wreak havoc on your parking lot. And the last thing your customers need is to dodge potholes, which might make them dodge your business altogether. Make sure they don't have bumps on the way to your door by calling U.S. Pavement. 1-800-PAVEMENT. Let U.S. Pavement smooth the road to your door. U.S. Pavement has paved the way for successful businesses all over New England since 1985. Call now, and a member of their expert team will evaluate your site and give you a price that won't leave a hole in your budget. Call U.S. Pavement at 1-800-PAVEMENT or visit uspavement.com.